Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, interviews, and events about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of health, freedom, peace, and sustainability for all. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. In this episode, I'm featuring some snippets of the recordings of several vegan events that occurred this past week. The International Cube Day by Anonymous for the Voiceless. Hundreds of activists around the world in over 200 countries participated on November 6th. Vegans on the street, what they do is they hold TV screens or computer screens and they have images, videos of the truth of what goes on behind the doors in animal agriculture, the dead flesh industry, the egg and dairy industry, as well as the pharmaceutical industry of the animals enslaved in laboratories, as well as the farms and slaughterhouses and auction blocks that the majority of the human population still choose to ignore and turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to the suffering that's going on, which, of course, can never be hidden. Eventually, it's going to come out, and as long as we continue to ignore it, it becomes the shadow. It becomes the violence and the domination and the oppression and the tyranny and the totalitarianism that we see happening worldwide, especially in 2021 to everyone. Another vegan event that happened this week, over the weekend, November 6th and 7th, was Veg Fest Morocco. So we'll be hearing a few little snippets of some of those recordings. And then also at COP26, vegans there on the street with climate healers. So let's start out with Ashley of Anonymous for the Voiceless in Ithaca, New York.
This is Ithaca AV chapter, ICD 2021. My name is Ashley. I'm the organizer. My partner, Carrie. Co-organizer, partner for life as well. Got my crew behind me. I just wanted to share something with the world dedicated to all the non-human animals who are still in cages, still in tanks, all of them who don't have their freedoms right now. This is dedicated to you. This is also dedicated to Paul and Asal, all of AV. You guys have created a masterpiece and created this organization that allows everybody to come together to be a voice for animals, to come together on such a historical day today. So this is dedicated to you as well. This is AV, this is ICD. In the eyes of the victims, I see me. She was held down and raped for your ice cream. I'm trying to be the light in her life like some high beams. You don't wanna see me or hear me, they say I'm feisty. But you're still an animal abuser, and I'll check you like it's Nike. You don't have to like me, but you know who will? The trillions of those that breathe through gills. So I'm trying to liberate while you suffocate. You treat them like a defecate. And what about the male chicks getting ground up alive? Because they won't lay eggs. They don't have a dollar sign. You made a deal with the devil, man. You sign on that dotted line. What you're doing is so cruel. Don't you see that higher sign? And all the cows born, they don't get that solid bond. They don't get their mother figure. They don't get to see their mom. Because right when they're born, they get taken away. And after she's spent, she's the steak on your plate. Her fear, her stress, her sadness and death. And all the hell she went through is what you ingest. That's someone's skin on your back. It's not a leather vest. The feathers in your pillow, they were ripped up someone's chest. What's in your perfume? A lot of animal tests. That's a lot of blood on your hands. You finally have a chance to rid yourself from the animal abuse that you demand. And you can do it with veganism. Stop your speciesism. That human supremacist you live it with, time to kick them straight to the curb. Man, I'm straight with these words. It's just me, my crew, AV, is who we serve. Ithaca, AV, ICD 2021. See you all, ICD 2022. We out.
Next is a short edited snippet of one of the presentations at VegFest Morocco.
Hello, My name is Sunny, and I'm the founder of Vegan Af, which is the Vegan Africa Fund. We're working to scale plant-based ventures across Africa that are regenerative in nature to supply their local communities with accessible vegan products and to export to the global vegan community high-value, in-demand products like vegan leather made out of cactus or mushroom materials, as well as plant-based meats and cheese made out of amazing cashew products or cultured coconut yogurt. I've personally started impact investing in early 2021 to support my local vegan restaurant, Vegan Basket, on the Kenya coast. And I realized that there's a lot of amazing opportunity because Africa is resource rich and cash poor. So I'm wondering, what are the kinds of opportunities that entrepreneurs in this region have? And there is no impact fund other than the Vegan Africa Fund that has a specific focus on the future of veganism in Africa.
I'll encourage everyone of this panel to support vegan African activists because their challenges, as you say, are different. We might have vegan meals and a vegan food and a lot of plant-based products available, but the level of ignorance is different. And to bring in the concept, considering our traditions here, the way we look at religion here, all those are very vital challenges to us. I don't know if you understand me, but the challenges are enormous. Sometimes some people look at you like you're a ritualist or you're doing something which is really far-fetched. It cannot exist. So to wrap up, I'll just encourage every other activist to support African activists in however way they can, small or big.
When we talk about processed foods, I think that one thing that people don't really understand is that if you're eating meat or dairy products, your food is processed. Doesn't matter if you call it organic or free range or grass fed or whatever, if you are consuming meat or dairy or eggs, that product was processed by a physical being. It also is perpetuating the cycle of suffering, where I'm a firm believer that when we perpetuate suffering, we ourselves suffer. It really is cyclical. One of my fears and something I see coming is global multinational corporations coming and, you know, in 5 to 10 years when their vegan products are successful, they might come to Africa, set up their own production facilities, and completely wipe out the small businesses that are trying to succeed but constrained by those capital barriers, so they're still making everything by hand. And so the question I ask myself is, what can I do to enable these founders and these ventures to have a more successful, more equitable, more abundant future, and to help the vegan evolution succeed? What if we go to the places where vegan products that are highly sought after are abundant and process vegan alternatives there? On the Kenya coast, just as one single example of concentrated abundance, there are so many cashew nut farms and cashew trees. There's an abundance of moringa. There's an abundance of coconuts. There's an abundance of jackfruit. There's an abundance of grains and greens and fruits and mangoes and all of these amazing things. And we could be processing at scale for global export things like cashew cheese, cultured coconut yogurt, jackfruit meat substitutes, and so much more. There's also a lot of cactus and mushroom that grow. And both of those can be processed into vegan leather substitutes, along with pineapple leaf fiber, which is, again, highly abundant in these areas where we're working. And so critically looking at how these resources are being managed currently, it's very clear that resource management across Africa is lacking in a lot of ways. But then we have to ask ourselves, okay, why is it lacking? Why is it that instead of being processed into these high-value items, in Kenya, for this example, most of the exports are raw materials and they're being processed overseas? You quickly realize that there's a huge lack of access to capital and you can't really scale production without capital. And so as much as there's all of these abundant raw materials that can be turned into wealth and capital, you can't really do that without a starting point and a starting capital injection. So for example, to process cashew cheese and cashew milk and cashew butter and all of these delicious products out of cashews, could all be done in Kenya, but first you got to get the machinery over there, and you have to have the capital to have the machinery there, and you have to have the capital to pay the labor force, and you have to have the network to have the connections so you know that you have someone to sell it to. And that's something that the entrepreneurs are really struggling with, and that's the gap that the Vegan Africa Fund is seeking to fill. We support entrepreneurs who are growing the plant-based network while acquiring capital from global futures and investors who invest in VAF. And VAF will enable them to support the vegan future in Africa, hold a stake in the plant-based future, but also, after these ventures scale and once they are ready for global export, the people who invested early will be able to trade their VAF for amazing plant-based products that they know are produced in a sustainable, regenerative manner that are benefiting these communities, that are growing wealth and allowing people to grow their own wealth with just a little bit of startup capital.
Thank you for allowing me to share with you about the Vegan Africa Fund, which is the first impact investment initiative with a focus on supporting the vegan future of Africa. I'd like to thank everyone who came together to bring VegFest Morocco to life. I'm grateful to all of those who participated as speakers for sharing your unique perspectives. Thank you to Chama, Si Muhammad, Jihane, Sumaima, Mouna, Sukaina, Taya, Layla, and Umema from Morocco. Thank you to Jane from South Africa, Aurelia from Kenya, Summer from Egypt, Olalua from Nigeria, Chef Kola from Zimbabwe, Daniela from Mozambique, Florence from Zambia, Dash from Uganda, and Heather from Mauritius for holding space for such incredibly diverse Pan-African conversations. I also want to thank all of the global guest speakers who committed their time and energy to VegFest Morocco 2021. Thank you so much to Palak and Nikunj from India, Dr. Kassam and Roger from the UK, Jessica, Naomi, Omawale, Priya, Naija, and Sata from the United States, and Manguese from France for coming together for this event and sharing all of your expertise and your incredible stories. I also want to thank the incredible film director, Liz Marshall from Canada, for participating in this event. I also want to extend a huge thank you to the honoree of this evening, the legendary Dr. Jane Goodall. VegFest Morocco has been an incredible opportunity for all of us to learn more about animal advocacy and veganism across Africa and the world. VegFest Morocco is not over yet. I am thrilled to announce that we get to hear from Moby, the passionate and award-winning musician, artist, and animal rights activist from the United States. Moby has been vegan as well as a musician and an activist for over 3 decades, and his commitment to honoring all life on this planet has inspired me greatly. I hope he inspires you too.
For us here, when we have funerals, if I have to bury my mother or my father or a brother or a sister, I have to slaughter a cow. And goats and chicken and pigs. And if I don't do that, I'm considered poor and broke. That's how the society terms you. So sometimes you go to funerals, it's like it's a competition. A woman has about 3 children and she dies. And those 3 children, they make sure they have to slaughter 3 cows to prove a point to the society that they are rich, or it's a symbol of money. And secondly, our traditional leaders here encourage that a lot, because sometimes you really don't intend to do it, but the older generation and the traditional leaders keep putting you pressure. They keep saying that if you don't do this, it means you did not love your mom. If you don't do this, you didn't love your family, you blah, blah. So you see some people are working under pressure to do these things, to prove a point, which is really a misconception. Because I've told, like, my family, I keep telling them all the time, if you die and expect me to kill a cow, don't die, just make sure you don't die.
We're listening to snippets of the recent VegFest Morocco, which happened November 6th and 7th, November 6th was African Vegan Day. November 7th was International Vegan Day. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts.
We're going to be rocking right here for Evolve.
At WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio. Online at WCUW.org. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in.
Strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, and blueberries. And you're going to need some maple syrup.
And here's another presenter at VegFest Morocco. And this is DJ KVM with his raw vegan cheesecake. Really important, because as vegans, we all know what happens to the quote-unquote dairy cows when they no longer lactate. Here's some nonviolent, peaceful, healthy, raw vegan cheesecake by DJ KVM from Denver, Colorado, one of the presenters at VegFest Morocco.
What's good, y'all? This your man, Chef Etef, live and direct right here representing Earth Guardians and the squad, the crew, Plant-Based Records. We're going to be rocking right here for a raw food, no bake cheesecake. What we have is pink salt, raw soaked cashews, coconut shreds, dates, walnuts, vanilla bean, strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, and blueberries. And you're going to need some maple syrup. On the bottom, we can even use like chia seeds. Sometimes I've even used like oatmeal, but today we're going to use a couple of shreds. So what you're going to need, some dates and some walnuts, because we're going to make the crust. If you're using Madrid dates, always take out the pits. Walnuts, that's key. So when it starts to clump up like that,
it's done.
Coming up next, now you gotta go ahead and start to lay your crust. You wanna press it down to where it's an even thickness, but it starts to push out to the walls, right? It's about a half an inch thick right there. So what's in the filling of the cheesecake? No cheese, but there is some cashews. So you want to use about 2.5 cups of cashews that have been soaked and drained overnight. However many cashews you got, you want to cover that up with maple syrup. With the flavor, you already know, you want to add some vanilla. Sometimes you might want to add almond extract, but here we go. Yeah, you can add chocolate, you can add different flavors that you're feeling. One of the most important parts has got to be the coconut oil. You want to get fair trade organic coconut oil. Looking for that high pitch on it. When you start to hear that high pitch, it means everything is nice and thick. It's ready. This is definitely going to be bomb. Shout out to Alchemia on this one. And so now it's time to pour cashew cream into the cake. Now this is the fun part. It's where you get the chance to decorate, add your flavor, add your vibes to it. That's the best part. You definitely want to have a top on it so you don't get the freezer burn. You want to leave it at night for at least about 4 hours.
So we're talking about the vegan social movement. And so...
And here's a short edited snippet of the presentation by Roger Yates in Ireland, another presenter at VegFest Morocco.
And in terms of types of social movements, what we have with the vegan social movement is it fits into that third category of a revolutionary movement. Veganism is a very big, radical, revolutionary idea. We want to effectively change the world. So we're talking about a cultural revolution, essentially, where the values of veganism are put into effect. Every basic wrong done to non-human animals by humanity would automatically disappear. So obviously that's going to be the first effect of veganism, that our exploitation of other animals would just end. So that's the first thing that would happen, if you like. The heart of veganism is the healing power of compassion, the highest expression of love, of which... humans are capable. So Cross says, in this light, veganism is not so much welfare as liberation. And then we get the caveat yet again, for the creatures, the other animals, of course, and for the mind and heart of humanity. So by liberating other animals, again, we're liberating ourselves. And this theme is rehearsed and repeated over and over and over again in the writings of the people who started our movement. They really thought that we were doing ourselves a massive favor by bringing about a vegan world, because we have then a world which is based on peace, on nonviolence, and on justice. So I tend to say that veganism stands for kind of for justice for all.
Here's an announcement of a vegan event. Stand for Freedom, Protest the Mandates, Nationwide Strike is happening in the United States. Workers in healthcare, education, telecom, supply chain, transport industries, government, or any sectors are having a nationwide strike November 8th, November 9th, November 10th, and November 11th. November 11th is Veterans Day. Veganism stands for freedom for all beings. Veganism stands for nonviolence and non-exploitation and non-discrimination for all beings.
Vega is basically saying go vegan. she's making no bones about it. She's saying go vegan, right? So that's the, just stop eating animals. There it says, you know, this is what the government should be doing.
And now we're hearing a clip from Dr. Salish Rao, based in Phoenix, Arizona, and he's currently in Glasgow, Scotland, at COP26 with climate healers. And we just heard him talking about Vega, cow and climate healer. The climate healers has an innovative, creative, very powerful form of activism. And they have this large inflatable cow, Vega. Her name is Vega. And they have her on the streets and at the activities at COP26. Two, as you heard, encourage everyone to go vegan. Be vegan. Be fair, be vegan. Be sustainable, be vegan. Be loving, be vegan.
We have a big poster with a green background saying, I see you. Why don't you see me? Thecowintheroom.org. So we're telling the story of vegan, right? I mean, we are trying to create like a personality around her. Ultimately, you know, she's going to tell humanity that she's going to wean you. No more milk for you. You should grow up.
Silas, have you had any interactions with journalists?
Well, trying to get into the media room is almost impossible. And they have guards outside, so they don't let you get anywhere near the media because they want to choose who they talk to. But we have press conferences, and we announce the press conferences. And so we had one press conference about Supreme Master Ching Hai's book, and it was supposed to be, you know, Peter Egan who was going to announce it. But this COP, they have stopped guests from coming in. The first time ever. So no more guests coming in. So Peter Egan couldn't get in. No, I had to read it for him. And then once you do a press conference, the video you have to go collect from the media room. When you go to collect the video, they bring an escort so that you don't get to wander around. It's all managed, okay? It's managed so that the story is highly controlled.
And Dr. Rao, how do you feel the largest progress has been this year? Because you've been multiple times before, and where have you seen this year some hope?
Oh, I see the biggest shift that has happened in COP is that now people are outraged by the menu. Whereas in Morocco, it was like, that's the way it is. Or Paris, it was just, Paris, I couldn't even eat one single thing when I went. There's not one single thing I could eat. I had to go complain to the UN office. And that's when they made one vegan option available. So here, at least there are two or three vegan options every cafeteria. So, you know, it's not like, you know, they know it needs to happen. But they're dragging their feet. Even though they say it's an emergency, they're dragging their feet. So now they're getting, you know, called out on it. And people are, the kind of articles I'm seeing where people are saying, like, you know, this is like offering cigarettes at a lung cancer conference. That's the kind of analogy that's coming out now, which is good. It's becoming more and more common knowledge.
Is it possible you can tell us who Viga wrote letters to?
And
a little bit about the letter from Viga the cow?
Have you seen all the letters? I mean, they're awesome. Yeah, she's written letters to Marsha McNutt, who is the president of the National Academy of Sciences, who said something really, really silly. So she took her on. She wrote a letter to Alok Sharma, the president of COP26. She wrote a letter to Boris Johnson, to Joe Biden, to the Dalai Lama, and Pope Francis, Greta Thunberg, and Prince William, Prince Charles, and Paul McCartney. Those are the 10 letters she's written so far.
And is she has some very large udders, I noticed. Is there a reason for that?
Well, you know, you want to be absolutely clear that it's a mother cow who's talking, and she's going to be telling human beings, you know, look, I've been your mother for so long. Now it's time to let go. So that's the idea behind creating her as a mother cow character.
What they should do is put on side of milk cartons. Hopefully they'll be obsolete soon, but regular dairy cartons. Have you seen my baby? And they'll have like, you know, have you seen my child? You know, remember those missing children on milk cartons? And you put the missing child of the cow and you put them on all the milk cartons as an advertisement.
Yeah. No, she's basically saying you're done. You know, no more. It's time to grow up and take responsibility for being an adult species.
Right? Silesh, is there absolutely no discussion in the main conference about animal agriculture? I'm hearing methane only discussed in terms of the energy sector. There's zero? Is like nothing to the table at all about animal agriculture?
Well, the NGOs are talking about it. But the observers, these are the observers we're talking about, you know, so, but not from the main delegations. So
absolutely mind blowing that there's no discussion at all.
Right.
It really is. I mean, even in the news, COP comes up a lot in the news here in Phoenix, but they never say anything about agriculture. It's just about methane and stuff. So, yeah, I don't understand why they don't make the connection.
There are people who are carrying signs about animal agriculture during the rally, but outside also there are some, but it's not the majority. Majority of people are still talking about fossil fuel.
Hopefully tomorrow we can get some pictures and maybe some video and we can pass it along to the news stations.
Yeah. We're going to host a rally about they are trying to kill us. Okay. A press conference about they're trying to kill us in the event. So that's going to be next week. That's going to go live on the 11th of November.
Yes. Here in Lima, Peru, in our business newspaper, there was an important article about how Argentina and Brazil were blocking progress because of the beef industry. Mm-hmm. So that was in our prominent business newspaper.
Right. That's the reason why this whole process is messed up. It's not going to work. Right? They won't solve a problem like that.
We're listening to Dr. Silesh Rao of Climate Healers at COP26 in Glasgow. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. This is Marlene wishing you a good day. I'd like to thank all the vegan activists for sharing their content. to co-create a vegan paradigm of egalitarianism, sustainability, justice, nonviolence, and compassion for all.